At some point far in the future, historians will probably ask, what was daily life like in the early 21st century? Well, one thing we know for sure, nobody will ever point to these two clowns and say, this was how you should have been stacking Benjamins.
Live from Joe's mom's basement, it's the Stacking Benjamin Show. Hey there, everyone. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, and we have an action-packed show for you today. Help Joe and OG welcome the host of the Elite Man podcast, Justin Stenstrom. But that's not all. We'll share which fund company is winning more investor money than any other. We'll throw out the Haven Lifeline to a lucky caller. Heck, we'll even share some of the best trivia you've ever heard so far today. And here they are, two guys who are still wondering how they wound up on a hit podcast. Hit podcast? Who writes this stuff? Anyway, it's Joe and OG.
Can we call this a hit podcast? I think what it means is a podcast got hit by a truck.
Definitely not a hit podcast. Hip. Maybe he meant hip.
Hip. He must have been hip. Hey, everybody. I'm Joe Salci, High Average Joe Money on Twitter. And across this card table in the basement, the one and only other guy, or should we call him OG?
What? Shaking? Bacon?
Dude, happy like bacon Monday.
Monday, huh?
You don't like bacon?
Nah. It's growing on me, to be honest.
It's growing in you?
Not in me. Nope. Didn't say that.
Yummy. Hey, you know something else that's yummy? It's when you had to stack your Benjamins.
I set it up for you. That one was easy.
StackyBenjamins.com/magnify money. I'm going to get a note from Nick Clements at Magnify Money that says yummy question mark. And that's it.
He's going to say, please stop associating. We're going to get a letter from his attorneys, corporate attorneys that say, please stop associating our service with bacon.
Right. No longer. Although I think it's a pretty positive reference. When you head to stackybenjamins.com/magnify money, surprisingly, no bacon, but a heck of a lot of cheddar in your pocket. How about that, huh? Different food reference. Because the average person who goes to Magnify Money saves $450 because they do something, help you do something rather, that you've needed to do all along and never thought you could get it in one place. Here's the deal. You're getting all the different debt instruments, all the different checking accounts, all the different savings accounts. You're getting them all in one place. And you can shop anonymously until you decide which one fits you. They'll tell you what the interest rate is, what the loan terms are, what the fine print looks like, all that and more. StackyBenjamins.com/magnify money. And right at the top of that list, OG, is SoFi. That's spelled S-O-F-I. If you head to StackyBenjamins.com/SoFi, I'll tell you what happens. You will end up giggling with delight because of the fact that you found the number one place on earth to refinance those onerous student loans. Reading something just a couple days ago on this newsletter that I get called The Hustle. Have you seen these numbers, OG, about the number of senior citizens that have student loan debt? I mean, and it's a big problem. And people are using more and more of their Social Security money to pay off student loans. What a nightmare.
I think you have to.
Right.
I think if you still have student loans, yes, government student loans, and you start getting Social Security, I think you don't get Social Security until your student loans are paid.
That's right.
You file for it, and then they send you a note that says, we took your Social Security check.
Yeah, so it's rough. So refinance those student loans, StackyBenjamins.com/SOFI. Pay down the man more quickly, because what you'll find is that very quickly, according to our friend Dan Macklin over at SoFi, you'll find out what interest rate they will give you, how easy it is for you to work with them. The cool thing is, Nick Clements at Magnify Money says that SoFi has very little fine print, which we all like. So flexible terms, good stuff there. StackyBenjamins.com/SoFi. You could also use them for a personal loan. Maybe get those credit cards refinanced into a consolidation loan. You can use them for a mortgage as well. StackyBenjamins.com/SOFI. Big show today, man. We're going to talk about fear because lots of people experience fear. You know, one of my favorite phrases of all time is this old Nike phrase, the one they had before, just do it. They had one that I can tell why they got rid of it. They got rid of it because it was a little clumsy, but I like it better than just do it. It was feel the fear and do it anyway. And I really like that phrase. And I have to remind myself that all the time. We turn on these microphones and I go, man, are we really going to do this? Remember the early days when we're first doing this podcast and you're just thinking, am I really going to talk into this thing? Lots of fear when it comes to your investing, when it comes to making more money. Justin Stenstrom coming down to the basement.
I just read a part of Tim Ferriss's new book, The Tools of Titans or Titan Tools or whatever it's called, that big honking mammer jammer. I was just thumbing through it and I can't remember who said it because it's a collection of interviews, but talking about fear, it said, what's on the other side of fear? Nothing. Kind of interesting.
Yeah, I like that. Yep. What's on the other side of it? Just fight your way through it.
Yeah, do it anyway.
Justin Stenstrom's a guy who had panic attacks, who had big time fear, obviously came out with a fantastic podcast. The guy actually has two podcasts, has the elitemanmagazine.com, doing a lot of good stuff. Justin Stenstrom going to join us. But first, we got some headlines, big news from investment companies, OG. Let's take a look.
Hello, darlings. And now it's time for your favorite part of the show, our Stacking Benjamin's Headlines.
First headline comes to us from Financial Planning. This is a slideshow called Follow the Money, and it shows who brought in the most money, which investment companies brought in the most money last year. And it goes through the top 20, and just very, very briefly, I'm not going to do the bottom 10, but I will give you the top 10. Starting at number 10, last year, Double Line brought in $7.9 billion. You familiar with Double Line?
Yeah. I'm also curious as to find out like how much of that $7.9 billion is now worth $4.9 billion.
That good,
they,
huh?
They special. Well, yeah, I shouldn't say that. Their claim to fame is going to be on the fixed income side.
Got it. Number nine is Baird at $7.9 billion. Number eight, TIAA CREF, Asset Management, working with a lot of universities and professors. Mm-hmm. At almost 8.4 is Bridge Builder.
Yeah, never heard of them.
It's funny. They're number seven on the list, and I'm like, who the heck is that? Number six, AQR Funds.
Yeah, that's a gimmick, but go ahead.
Almost $10.4 billion. Number five is Schwab ETFs at $16 billion. Isn't it funny?
Well, they launched their intelligent portfolios.
Yeah,
so
yeah. Now,
a little home cook in there.
Now the top boys, I mean, that was a big jump. We just doubled the number. Mm-hmm. At $21.4 billion, Dimensional Fund Advisors.
And heard of them.
And then at number three, State Street Global Advisors, Spider State Street Global Advisors, mm-hmm. $54 billion, from $21 billion to $54.7 billion. And then at $99.4 billion, BlackRock iShares. And the king of kings.
Obviously, it's Vanguard. We all know this.
$277 billion with a B. And by the way, Vanguard alone brought in as much money as the next 16 biggest asset managers, OG. Mm-hmm. Lots of money flowing the way of Vanguard.
Well, I like Vanguard. I like the advisors. I think the benefit that they're getting is that advisors are starting to use them as well.
Exactly. Right.
You know what I mean? Like advisors are going, fine, screw it. You can have Vanguard, you know, as opposed to, you know, but I think that I'd be interested to see the look on this the next time we go through another 30% market decline. And what the asset inflows or outflows look like at that point.
You know, diving into the bottom 20 just for a second, Prudential, big name, right? Prudential Investments brought in $4.4 billion versus $277 billion for Vanguard. I mean, that's just a monster difference between the two. Now, when it comes to most of Vanguard investments, should the size of those funds worry you if you're an individual investor?
Well, if everybody indexes, then in theory, there won't be a market, right? Because everybody would be buying and selling on the same day, which might be actually a good thing. There's no stock trading. But no, in active funds, you do have to be concerned about the drag, right? The fund manager's trying to find a place to put all the new money when he's on the cover of Money Magazine and they get a whole bunch of new money coming in. Got to find a place for it. In ETFs or, you know, in index funds, it's already self-prescribed where the money's going to go. It's just pro rata based on whatever index they're following. So I don't know that you have to worry about it too much until and unless the point happens where there's so much more money quote unquote indexing than there's active, which I don't think I can't remember if I've seen a study on this before or if I thought that I was looking for it. But in any event, I don't think that we're anywhere near the tipping point on that.
Our second headline comes to us from Investment News. SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, hits Morgan Stanley with a $13 million fine, says the wirehouse overbilled investment advisory clients due to coding and other billing system errors. This is written by Bruce Kelly. The Securities and Exchange Commission said a week ago Friday that Morgan Stanley agreed to pay a $13 million penalty to settle charges that overbilled investment advisory clients due to coding and other billing system errors. Morgan Stanley overcharged more than 149,000 advisory clients because it failed to adopt and implement compliance policies and procedures reasonably designed to ensure clients were billed accurately according to the terms of their advisory agreements, according to the SEC's order. Morgan Stanley also failed to validate billing rates contained in the firm's billing system against client contracts, fee billing histories, and other documentation, according to the SEC. You know, I read this and I wondered to myself, OG, how often, you know, you play the game of Monopoly, it says bank error in your favor. How often are advisors overcharging you and it's not in your favor?
Well, this is a big deal. The SEC is very concerned about really two things, and as it relates to fees and fee billing and assets. The first is accurately reporting how much money you manage. For whatever reason, people like to inflate that number. And believe it or not, there are people who like to lowball it because there are different registration requirements at different numbers.
Oh.
Cost more money.
Yeah. So you get to the certain point and you have to pay much bigger fees and go through more.
And so you go, we're only managing this. Yeah, don't tell you.
Gotcha.
So they're very concerned with being accurate with that. And then the second thing, obviously, which makes more sense to me, is the fee billing. And so that you have to have policies and procedures in place as an investment management firm to spot check that. And every firm should, and most, I would say most do. A $13 million fine is hardly
Morgan Stanley, that is a little tiny slap on the wrist.
Yeah, it's to whom do we make the check payable? Okay, this should go away.
Right.
But it is something if you do have a bad system, you're going to get bad data out of it. And if you're billing, you know, it's one thing when you run an investment firm, you know, like mine that has several hundred clients, you can kind of spot check it, do pretty quickly, you know. But if you've got 400,000 or a million clients and your system's fouled up, you're going to be messed up for everybody.
But if I'm listening to this, how do I spot check my advisor to make sure that the bill is what it should be?
Yeah, you just do the math on it. So you just take the, you know, your asset management fee, if it's quarterly, multiply it by four, divided by the portfolio value, and get, that gets you a percentage, and you should be in the ballpark of what you agreed on.
And there you go. Right. Yep. So I think our lessons today, OG, are number one is if you're an advisor, don't pretend that your asset is bigger than it really is.
Yeah. You really want to keep an eye on your assets and check the size of it from time to time.
Measure it. And then our second.
Document the measurement of your assets.
And then our second lesson from the headlines is while size definitely does matter, especially if you're Vanguard, really, when it comes to index investing, at least, you don't need to pay attention to inflows. Justin Stenstrom, he's a guy who has, like most of us, experienced a lot of fear. But what I like about Justin is he's willing to come on and talk about it. And he is a guy who, if you don't know who Justin is already, you're going to want to know, especially if you're a man, because he runs the Elite Man podcast, has a second podcast called the Justin Stenstrom podcast, and has elitemanmagazine.com. Justin's a guy who does a ton of stuff, OG, and one of those things that he does, he comes down here into the basement and helps us talk about fear. And in case you're listening to this and you're like, but I'm a woman and this guy is a manly man talking about elite men. Justin's a guy who's going to talk about a topic today that everybody deals with, the fear of moving forward. So let's say hello to Justin Stenstrom coming down to the basement. and host of the Elite Man podcast, Justin Stenstrom, joins us. Have a seat, dude. How are you doing?
Hey, Joe. What's going on, man? I'm excited.
Well, I'm excited that you're here, and I'm glad you made it past Mom, because if Mom approves of you, everybody's going to approve of you.
Mom was a very, very kind, nice woman, so I appreciate that, man.
Are you a guy who's had a lot of fear in your life? I know that's what we're going to talk about mostly, and I'm wondering what your background is of being afraid.
Yeah, man, I was afraid for a number of years in my life with anxiety, panic attacks 3 to 4 times a week. It was the time when I was depressed too, which kind of adds to the whole anxiety and worry about everything. So yeah, and almost 10 years ago now, it was almost a decade now, there was a period in my life where this was a real big problem for me, man. So yeah, I have a long history of fear and anxiety.
But it's funny that you took that fear. And now you have not one, but two podcasts. You, of course, have the website. You have the conference. I mean, you took that fear and you ran with it. There must have been a time in your life when you hit bottom and just said, I can't live like this.
One day, again, it's like 10 years ago now, but I'm sitting on the couch at my dad's house and we're watching a show. It's like, I think it was Sons of Anarchy back when it was like the first season of that. So that kind of
such a great show.
You, yeah, great, great show. It just kind of shows you how dated it was, though. I mean, it was like first season, maybe the first couple episodes of that. We're sitting there watching it, and I'm literally like just sitting on the couch thinking like, why am I so depressed? I was literally like just so depressed. I was having suicidal thoughts throughout the entire episode. Like, I should just end this. This is terrible. I'm always anxious. I had a panic attack the night before. You know, I have no control over my thoughts and what's happening in my life. And everything was just negative at that point in my life. That night, I just kind of put my foot down. I think I even had another panic attack later that day because I was getting so many of them, as I mentioned. I put my foot down and I said, enough's enough. Like, I have to figure this thing out. I have to figure out the depression and I have to figure out this anxiety that's literally crippling my life and taking over, or else something bad's going to happen. Like, when I'm sitting on the couch just contemplating like ending it all because it's so bad, because I'm so depressed and so out of it, that was a real problem. And that was a wake-up call for me. And at that point, I just started looking, like, research. This is kind of like how to end panic attacks, how to end depression, like if it was even possible. But I made the decision that I was going to try no matter what I could and try everything out there so I could figure out this problem and solve it. So these problems of depression, anxiety, fears, panic attacks went away. And that's what I did for the next about 6 months or so with the anxiety, and probably about a year or so for the depression.
Did you ever think about going to a psychologist or psychiatrist, or had you already done all that stuff?
When I first started getting the anxiety, like, I think my first panic attack, I had no idea what it was. You know, I thought I was literally losing my mind, and I thought I was going crazy. Like, I'd end up in one of those, you know, mental hospitals or something. So yeah. I was really scared. And I told, I think, my mother at first, and she actually brought me to the hospital because we had no idea. You know, we thought I was having like a heart attack, or I was losing my, like, we didn't know what it could have been, anything.
Sure.
So she brought me to the hospital, and the first thing they did was send me to a psychiatrist and basically said it was just anxiety. And I went to the psychiatrist, and although, you know, she kind of helped and listened and things like that, the thing she did, which didn't help me or I didn't like, was that she gave me medication right away. It immediately prescribed me with anti-anxiety and I think even antidepressants. And I went home and I remember I took one pill, and then the very next morning, my dad opened up the cabinet and saw that anxiety medication was there, and you know, immediately kind of said, you know, this isn't the right path for you. You don't need to medicate yourself. And he's very worried, and rightly so, about getting like having to rely on medication and things like that. And kind of had heard some bad stories about other people and friends who'd went down that path. So, you know, I had the medication. I took one and then decided that, you know what, this it really isn't for me. I don't want to have to rely on something. I'm going to figure out something else. And I ended up continuing to go to a psychologist, which, you know, is different than a psychiatrist where they don't necessarily prescribe you things. And that helped with like talk therapy and just kind of realizing that I wasn't going crazy, which is always, you know, a big plus. So I continued that, and that, you know, it kind of helped me a little bit with worrying, but it didn't help me to override these things and really get over the panics and the anxiety attacks I was having. So I had to kind of do that on my own.
I love how you took control, because it sounds like to me like you weren't ruling out the fact that you might need medication, but medication should have been step number 7 instead of step number 1.
Yeah, no, 100%, man. And some people, I say this all the time when I talk about this subject too, some people do need medication. Some people actually have like a real biochemical problem in their brain, like the neurotransmitters and stuff aren't working correctly, and medication will help them. As it turns out, though, a lot of people don't need medication, and I was one of those people who really didn't. And it actually, you know, on a 17, 18-year-old growing brain, that's probably the last thing you need for your mind is putting these, you know, substances in your brain that aren't natural and probably not good for you in the long run.
That is powerful stuff. So you end up taking a dance class with 30 women. Tell me about that.
Yeah, man. So flash forward probably about 2 years from this point. I'm going through a lot of change in my life. Like I figured out the depression by now. I figured out the anxiety attacks and kind of, you know, eliminated those for the most part. And I started pushing myself socially because one of the big things I had another problem with in my life, as it turns out, was dating advice and talking to women and being good socially. So I don't know where I found this. Maybe I stumbled upon it online or something. But one of the things I came across was saying to push yourself out of your comfort zone, like push yourself to the limits of what you feel comfortable doing. And I got this idea in my head that, you know what, I'm not a good dancer. I'm not good. I've never been good around women. Why not take this dance class and see what I can do? I'm going to push myself to that limit and see, you know, just how far I can take that. And I signed up for this dance class. Like you said, there was 30 women in the class. I was the only guy. I was a terrible dancer. And as it turns out, you know, it was the scariest experience of my life. I took the class for about 4 or 5 months. Every single day I went into the class, I was petrified, like just literally shaking with nerves because I'd have to, you know, stand in front of the 30 women in the class and do like this little dance routine that they teach us in the beginning. And at the end, you'd have to kind of like perform it. And it was like a 2 or 3 minute routine. And every single class, I was nervous as hell, man, and just, you know, shaking with butterflies and all that other stuff. But at the end of the class, like when I finished it up, I felt unbelievable. Like I had this just rush of confidence that lasted with me for like the next 24, 48 hours. And I felt on top of the world. And as it turns out, man, after every class, it was kind of like a buildup. After every class, you know, by the end of those 4 or 5 months, that confidence didn't just go away. It actually just stayed with me. And it was incredible, man. Like just to have that carry over into so many other elements of my life. And actually, yeah, it did help me out a ton with my dating life for sure.
Some people listening to this might be thinking, what does this have to do with making money? I think confidence has everything to do with increasing your income potential.
Oh, 100%, man. Absolutely. You know, you're sitting down for a business negotiation, or you're sitting down even if you're like a podcast host like you or I, Joe, you know, interviewing clients, coaching clients, all that stuff. Like every one of those aspects, every one of those areas, you need to have confidence in yourself. And for someone who doesn't have any confidence, for someone like me who had zero confidence at that time, this was like the number one thing I did to get myself confidence. And going on a microphone now, man, and talking to, you know, someone like Robert Greene, you know, Dr. Sean Steve, one of these like big name guys, that, you know, it would kind of, you know, you still get a little excited about that kind of thing, but you don't get nervous to the point where like you can't do it, or maybe you're like unsure of yourself. Like you have confidence in all areas of your life, and that never will go away. The fact that I stood in front of, you know, 30 women and danced and did a jig for 4 or 5 months, I'll have confidence for the rest of my life.
I feel nervous right now because I get to talk to Justin Stenstrom. You kidding me? Holy cow. For a lot of people, they're not, I don't think they're as creative as you are, but, and you were able to take these and create like an 8-step walkthrough that people can go through to kind of fight their fear. Can we walk through some of those steps?
Yeah, let me I'll give you the 8 steps and then we can jump back maybe to a couple because cool. I know it'll take up time. So the first step, if you want to conquer your fears, is to realize that you're not going crazy. This is kind of like anxiety right here. This is like the first thing I realized, and it helped me out, reassured me. Like the first step when I mentioned the psychologist, it was like, yeah, you're not going crazy. Actually, a lot of people have this problem. Maybe like 20-25% of the American population, they say, has some sort of anxiety problem or will have an anxiety problem in their life. So that's a good realization to have. Number two, and this is a big one that helped me out a ton, was I did self-hypnosis, yoga, and meditation.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
Jump back to one of those. Yeah. But hypnosis was the big one for me. And that's really, really powerful. The third one was living in the present moment, not worrying about the future, which a lot of people who have anxiety tend to do, and not regretting some of the things in the past that you missed out on. Number four, of course, this is sort of an obvious one. It's exercising. The hormone change, the neurotransmitter change, the benefits of exercise, it's kind of been studied, researched, time-tested, and proven. I mean, that kind of speaks for itself. The fifth one, again, is improving your sleep, which is another huge one. The changes in cortisol levels, you know, your stress hormones go way down. The serotonin, the dopamine levels go way up when you have good sleep. Your diet is obviously another big one, which is something I was lacking at the time, had very poor diet. But having the right amounts of carbs, protein and fats, and also getting, you know, your micronutrients, things like magnesium, iron, things that a lot of people miss out on, is a big one. The seventh one, I believe this is take supplements if necessary. Like I mentioned, magnesium, this in and of itself can be a great, great natural antidepressant and natural anti-anxiety supplement. Things like B vitamins as well, vitamin D, which is the seasonal depression vitamin, like a lot of people, especially up north where I'm from in Boston.
I totally used to get that when I lived in Detroit. Totally got it every year.
Totally, man.
Moved to Texas, Justin, it changed everything.
Man, I kind of, you know, envy you. I've been sick all winter too, man, up here in Boston. Don't have nearly enough sunlight like I should.
Yeah.
And I miss it, man. We have nothing but 20 and 30 degree days over here. So
living the dream.
That's a big one. The final one is a little method I call the panic away method. It's actually one of the ebooks I read, a book I came across when I was searching all this stuff. And it's a simple little technique. It's a three-step process. If you want, I can share that with you, because that was actually probably the most effective for ending panic attacks, like getting in a situation where you have to end panic, anxiety, worry right away. This quick little three-step process will help you a ton.
Oh, that's fantastic, because we've got about 2 minutes left. So let's walk through that. But actually, before we get to that, Justin, I just want to commenting on all these. It seems like these are a series of dominoes. Like if I clean up my diet and I exercise, I think that those two are going to make me sleep better. It's easier for me to live in the now more. The hypnosis, the yoga goes, but you know what I mean? If I don't try to conquer all eight of these, but I conquer a couple of them, there's going to be brothers and sisters that come along for the ride.
Absolutely, man. That's, you know, you nailed it right on the head. They're all sort of synergistic in a way, and they're all very simple too. Like there's nothing crazy here. Like I didn't even mention taking a dance class. You don't have to do, you know, anything nutty like that. They're all very basic, simple things, but each one kind of builds off the other. And if you can get one down, you can get the next one, then you can get the next one. Then, you know, pretty soon you're getting all these and you don't even have to think about it.
During this time of a lot of panic attacks, did you find that you were you out of shape and overweight too?
I wasn't overweight, but I was certainly out of shape. I was kind of one of those skinny guys who didn't take care of himself and, you know, just thought because he was skinny, he could eat whatever he wanted, not really exercise like he should, and, you know, stay up late and not really sleep right. So I was kind of, you know, one of those guys who kind of took advantage of his fast metabolism, but was certainly not healthy.
Right. No, that was me until 30 hit. And then I went, holy crap. All right, let's walk through these. So the three step, it sounds like it's kind of like a mantra.
Yeah, for sure. So anyone who's getting a panic attack, they know right away the crippling thoughts they have, you know, the racing mind, the butterflies in their stomach, the sweaty palms, the shaky legs, all those sort of symptoms typically arise in anyone who's getting a panic attack. The first thing people naturally want to do is suppress these things. They want to run from them. They want to hide. Sometimes that's kind of hit or miss. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. What I teach in this little process is to actually, step number one is to do nothing at first. So that's the step number one. You don't want to run. You don't want to try to hide or suppress it. Just sit back and observe what's happening. Observe all the symptoms and signs of the panic attack or the fears that you're having. Step number two is to actually welcome the fears into your life. So literally have like this dialogue in your head and say, you know, welcome back fears, welcome back crazy thoughts of messing up or crazy thoughts of going crazy or, you know, losing my mind. Welcome back butterflies, welcome back shaky legs, sweaty palms, etc. You literally go down the list of things thing that's happening to you, all the sensations and symptoms, and just welcome them back. The third and most powerful step is to actually call for more of the panic. Like literally, I know this sounds crazy, but you literally go through and say, give me more of these thoughts of messing up. Give me more of these thoughts of going crazy, these butterflies in my stomach, these sweaty palms, these shaky legs, all of the things that are causing you terror and panic. You literally ask for more of it, Joe. And what happens, man, is within the first couple of moments of doing this, within a couple of minutes, the panic goes away. Like FDR said it best himself when he said, there's nothing to fear but fear itself. And it couldn't be more applicable than this. You're literally calling the fears out, putting it to the light. And what happens when you put it to the light, you expose it for what it truly is. And it's just, it's nothing. It's a concoction of your mind of things that you think are going to happen to you in the future. And like I said, it just kind of dissipates within a couple of moments. It's really empowering.
That's powerful. As a guy who's had his own share of panic attacks, I can definitely vouch for that, because that's kind of, it's funny because I had to make up my own well before I knew you, Justin. And it was very similar. I had to become very comfortable with the fact that I was going to feel fear in a really big way, and just had to say, oh, okay, well, I kind of like this, you know? And once I said, I like it, you're right. It totally went away. Like, oh, you like me? I'm out of here.
Yeah. It's a really just, you know, different, you're kind of putting the right perspective on it. Like, I mean, you can still be nervous. You're still going to get anxious from time to time. You know, you have a big call or big interview, big business meeting. You're going to have those feelings pop up, but the way you kind of look at it dictates the way you're going to feel about it.
Yeah. You own it now. Now it's yours.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. So Elite Man Magazine, I'm looking at some of the recent posts, dating advice for men, 15 things you must never do. I've probably done all of those, by the way. What to text a girl, the best first date tips, best tools for successful. Like, you go through everything, how to build muscle fast. Tell me a little bit about how you came up with the idea for Elite Man Magazine.
Yeah, man. So after I figured out all this stuff, you know, these problems in my life, the depression, anxiety, the dating problems, I started helping other guys, like some of my friends who noticed, you know, big change in my life, and started going to meetup groups, going to online forums, blogs, et cetera, and just kind of realized that I wanted to help other guys who were just like me. I wanted to help other guys who were going through a lot of these problems. So I initially launched my first blog. It was a dating and confidence blog. You know, soon after that, transitioned into other things like business, health, fitness. I realized I kind of wanted to get the entire picture. And about a year or two after that first blog, I launched Elite Man Magazine. So I've been doing that for the past, three, 4 years now, and just really trying to get the best advice to guys and get some of the best experts, you know, to share their tips on how to be the best men.
Well, and people also that are more listeners like we'd have on this show, I can't neglect the Elite Man podcast, which is funny because listening to the Elite Man podcast, I have to think that you have a lot of women that are secretly listening to this podcast too.
Oh, absolutely, man. Actually, we have about 25% of our audience
right.
is women.
I bet it is. Because as I listen to the show, this isn't really, I mean, don't get me wrong, it's geared for men, but there's a lot in here for everybody.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We actually, some of the more comments we get, like some of the feedback from our emails come from women. So it's kind of funny.
That's awesome. And I'll link to the Elite Man podcast and Elite Man magazine on our show notes at stackingbenjamins.com. Thanks for hanging out, dude.
Hey, Joe, thanks so much, man. I appreciate it. I had a great time.
Hey everyone, I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Duggan. What a great discussion that was with Justin, huh? I gotta say though, with respect to Justin's approach to fighting fear, I have a different and maybe marginally better approach. Here's what the old Doug does first. First, I think to myself, if this person were dressed as a clown, how much scarier would they be? Then I think, if I survive this, will I get ice cream? And third, I remind myself that nothing is scarier than Joe's mom before her second cup of coffee. And then I realize, everything's better. It's not so bad. Try that out. And also, try out this little piece of trivia. Speaking of fear, there are lots of phobias people suffer from. What's the name for the fear of work?
OG and I are excited to have two sponsors at Stacking Benjamins that we can send people to who will help any of our listeners get their financial house in order. First of all, let's solve your debt problems by sending you to stackingbenjamins.com/SoFi. That's S-O-F-I. We talked to Dan Macklin about SoFi because they started in student loans, but then quickly moved on from there. We wondered exactly why they started with student loans.
Student loans just seem to be a bigger issue for people. There's over $1 trillion of student loan debt out there. And it really is and continues to be a pretty inefficient market. Lots of people overpaying. But we've quickly moved on from that. So as well as student loans, we're now doing other things, including mortgages and personal loans. But student loans was just a great entry point because so many people were overpaying.
So if you're someone who's overpaying for student loans or for other types of debt, whether it be mortgage or personal loans, head to stackingbenjamins.com/SoFi. And once you've been there, we'll send you to stackingbenjamins.com/magnify money. Because the thing about Magnify Money that I find really cool is that they do not ask for any personal information before showing you how different financial products rank against each other. And part of that rating system is just how little fine print there is. So we asked Nick Clement, CEO at Magnify Money, to explain more about their rating system and helping you avoid fine print.
Oh, the fine print can get out of control. You'll always see marketing which tells you this is free or we're even going to put money in your pocket if you do business with us. But then when you look underneath the hood, you can find fees on top of fees on top of fees. And some of the worst are in the world of overdrafts where you can be charged $35 per item. And then after 5 days of a negative balance, charged another $35. Particularly in that area, you see banks that are worse than payday lenders, although they're not advertised that way.
So for checking accounts, savings accounts, and debt products that you understand, head to stackingbenjamins.com/magnify money.
Hey everyone, it's Joe's mom's neighbor Doug, back with a thrilling answer to today's trivia question, which was this. There are lots of phobias out there, but which word is used to describe the fear of work? Well, you might have said window washitis or holy crap, isn't it Friday phobia? The real name is ergophobia or ergophobia. Ergo, I'm even scared of that word. While that may be technically correct, I think the names for avoiding work are Joe and OG. But what do I know? See ya.
Well, at least OG.
I don't avoid work. A pox on you. What are you talking about?
A pox on me. What is this, the Middle Ages? A pox on you.
Are we going to do well?
Are we going to go duel now? Is that the deal?
With our flintlock pistols.
Because I defamed the OG family name.
Did you come up to my like family crest and like cross off the part that shows us working? That's
right. Hey, let's throw out the Haven Lifeline and tackle some of life's, or rather life insurance's, most important questions. Our friends at Haven Life Insurance Agency, they've been spearheading innovation within the life insurance industry by focusing on what you value most, your family and your time. And that's why they created a high quality and, most importantly, affordable term life insurance policy that you can purchase entirely online. No need to wait several weeks for a decision when you can get one instantly with Haven Life. Head to stackingbenjamins.com/Haven Life now to learn about life insurance the modern way. September last year, OG, that's when Haven Life announced their instant term process, which allowed people to skip the medical exam if they are qualified healthy applicants. And that's the part that everybody hates, is waiting for the medical exam. I got my term insurance a couple of years ago, updated my policy. It took about a week and a half to get that scheduled. And then it took about another week for the decision after that. So elongated the process by a ton.
Since you started, I just went to the website and I typed in the info and tells me exactly how much it is.
Just
$1 billion, 20 years, boom.
All spit
you get the application. Yep.
Let's throw out the Haven Lifeline today to our friend Derek. Say hello, Derek.
Hi, Joe and OG. This is Derek. Joe, I figured I would stop peppering you with questions on Twitter and call into the Lifeline. My question is about a whole life insurance policy that my mom had for me from her work for a while now, and now she wants to turn it over to me and have me start paying the premiums on it. It's only about $9 a month, but I know that it's far better to get term life, so I'm wondering if you think that I should keep this whole life insurance policy, if I have the option to decline it, or if I should get a term policy instead. Thanks.
Great question, Derek. I'm sure there's a lot of people that have a question like that, OG, where a parent has purchased a whole life insurance policy on them, probably when they were pretty young, and now they're handing it over to the child, or in this case, to Derek. So what do you think?
Well, you got to start at the top with life insurance, right? What's the purpose of it? The purpose of having life insurance is to protect people that you care about or to make whole any obligations that you have and things like that. So firstly, Derek doesn't tell us whether or not he's married, has kids, family, that sort of thing. He doesn't really mention it. So let's just assume for a second that he's not. So the first step then is, well, what do you need life insurance for? If you don't owe anybody any money and you don't have any people to support, what do you really need it for? Sounds like mom's got the Gerber baby life step up plan or whatever it's called.
Right.
See all those commercials.
Yes.
You know, there's probably $72 worth of cash value in there, and it's $9 a month, and it's $20,000 of benefit. You probably get the same coverage through work for much less per month. You know, if you're looking for just, you know, something that's going to cover the bare bones minimum type of stuff, you want somebody to get a check in case something really crazy happens and you got to pay some funeral costs or something. My guess is that your work group term life insurance policy is probably free. And if it does cost anything, it's probably less than $9 a month. If you have some health issues, if you have some health issues in the family that are hereditary that you kind of might be foreseeing, maybe not a terrible idea to think about keeping it because you've got the insurance. But if you're kind of run-of-the-mill healthy person, even if you have financial obligations or family obligations, Derek doesn't say how old he is, but he's insinuating he might be kind of young because mom's just turning this over now type of thing.
Right.
I don't know that I would keep it. What do you think?
No, I tend to agree with you, but I also like what you said there at the end, because getting rid of an insurance policy is an irrevocable decision. Once you kiss it goodbye, it's gone. So if he does have any insurability issues, you know, your first thing should be to then keep it. But overall, the big probability is that it doesn't make sense for him. So yeah. Good stuff there. Thanks for the question, Derek. If you've got a question for the Haven Lifeline, head to stackybenjamins.com/voicemail. Derek, by the way, sent that to me yesterday. So as I mentioned on the show last week, we are caught up, baby. You want to be front row on the Haven Lifeline. We will answer your question very quickly. We also get letters, and this letter comes to us from our friend Michael. Michael says, "Hey, Joe and OG, I've been a Stack of Benjamins listener for the past year. Really enjoy the podcast. The show's entertaining and very enlightening. Especially enjoy the roundtable with you guys, Len, Paul, and Greg. I've also noticed you stepped up your game recently with some A-list guests, so keep that going. Thanks." Michael says, "Is a question regarding non-qualified deferred compensation plans." Ooh. Wow. "I'm fortunate that my compensation level allows me to participate in our company's plan. I haven't participated in the past few years when this has been offered. However, I'm taking a serious look at this for 2017, currently maximizing our company's 401k plan. So this seems like a nice way to build additional retirement funds with tax-deferred growth. Another great benefit is the flexibility in choosing a disbursement year. The main downside risk I see is that if our company went bankrupt in the future, it's possible that the deferred compensation could be subject to claims by creditors. I need to make a decision soon. Is there a past episode of the podcast you refer me to on this topic, or do you have a take on anything else I should consider? Thanks. Keep up the good work." By the way, Michael and I wrote back and forth because this letter's from a few weeks ago and he needed to make a decision right away. And I helped him with a little bit of with this OG, but let's help everybody out there. First of all, deferred compensation plans. This is different than like a 401k plan at work. What is he talking about?
Well, what he's doing with the deferred comp plan is he is taking a portion of his earnings and saying, "No thanks, I don't need it right now. I'm going to put it in this investment account. And I will take it out as a lump sum or as a stream of income some other time in the future." Kind of like creating your own little pension or lump sum, but taking excess compensation, so to speak, and putting it out in the future.
And he is correct that if there's a bankruptcy, this isn't protected like a 401k plan's protected?
Correct.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. So what do you think? What does he need to know? Is there anything he's not thinking about with deferred compensation that he should be considering?
Well, ultimately, it's just going to boil down to, you know, he identified all the risks with it. It's going to boil down to, you know, the exit strategy. So how liquid is it on the back end? When do you gain access to the money? Sometimes they have years, ages, or length of term. And then you just have to juxtapose that against your opinion of how the company is and or how long you plan on staying there. You know, you don't want to get stuck with a plan where your money is, but now you don't want to work there anymore, but you got to because the money's there type of thing.
Right.
A lot of times these are usually reserved for higher compensated employees or upper management executive type of thing. So sometimes those people have some pretty healthy turnover, you know, in their careers as they, you know, hopscotch from one position to another. So if that looks like it's going to be something in the future and you're unfamiliar with or don't like the liquidity provisions of it, you might look the other way. But on the other hand, you know, if you're kind of a lifer and the company's pretty stable, it's a great way to defer taxes for the future.
Yeah, that was my thought as well, is that I think he's thought about it very thoroughly. The only thing that I've seen with deferred comp is people that wish that they hadn't deferred it for so long. You know, the mistake is usually made that somebody defers, you know, they say, okay, I'm going to defer this for 15 years. And then 10 years from now, maybe they have kids going to college and they're like, why did I defer that money? Why did I defer that money for so long? So having it deferred for a really long time can be difficult. Also, you know, you talked about the company and the experience of the company. The company mm-hmm. might be fine today in 15 years if everything's changed in the economy, which it would have. Maybe the new company, or maybe the company doesn't compete as well in the future as in the past. So it's hard to judge. So
yeah.
I just said I wouldn't defer it for a long, long, long time because there becomes way too many.
There's a lot of unknowns at that point.
Yes, I'd rather have it in my hand and maybe invest it in some type of tax shelter that I can make sure at the very least it's my money. So good stuff. Thanks for the answer, OG. Thanks for the question, Michael. If you've got a question and you want to send us a letter, like I said, the Haven Lifeline is probably the best way to go because we are right there. But if you prefer to send me a letter, send that to joe@stackybenjamins.com. Also, if you're someone who's looking for financial help, but you want more one-on-one help, like as an example, if Michael had a plan that he needed to put together to figure out what the best years were to defer to, comprehensive financial plan is probably the way to go. OG's taking new clients. Head to stackybenjamins.com/OG for more on OG and his practice and to schedule your appointment. All right. That's going to do it for this episode, man. Coming up on Wednesday, Penny Pinching Mom, Tracy Phobes, joins us. She is all over the media. I was just watching a video, OG, of her talking to Queen Latifah. How about that?
So, that's nice. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so we're talking to the person who's talking to Queen Latifah. So doesn't that make us cool?
It's like 2 degrees of separation right? There.
We are just one step away. Before you know it, Queen Latifah will be on our show. So she's coming up Wednesday, and we'll have, of course, the same hilarity on the show. We'll see everybody back here then. Go Stacks Benjamins.
So, friends, what did we learn on today's show? Well, first, Justin Stenstrom just about nailed it. You can't let fear ruin your life. Get out there and make something happen, you big galoot, because gosh darn it, you're good enough, you're smart enough, and people like you. Second, maybe it's time to check your investment statement to make sure your fees are being deducted appropriately. But the real lesson? Don't tell Joe's mom you're suffering from ergophobia. All she'll say back is, get those leaves out of the gutters or you'll be suffering from broken buttophobia. That lady's surly. Special thanks to Justin Stenstrom for stopping by. You'll find the Elite Man podcast wherever you listen to your favorite shows, and you'll find the Elite Man online magazine at elitemanmagazine.com. Looking for some cool swag? The newer new t-shirts are in. Grab one at stackingbenjamins.com/shirts. This show is the property of SB Podcasts, LLC. The show is created by Joe Saul-Sehy, produced by Richie Rutter-Reese, and engineered by the amazing Steve Stewart. SB Podcasts may receive payment on the show from sponsors and guests in the form of books, giveaway items, discounts, or other remuneration. There's no way you would take advice from these dorks, but like Joe's mom always says, don't take advice from people you don't know. This show is for entertainment purposes only, and before making any financial moves, consult with a real financial advisor. Special thanks to Joe's mom for teaching me a new phobia. What is the fear of getting cut off from ice cream after dinner tonight called? Well, that's what I'm suffering from right now. Whatever it's called, I got it.
Have you seen the new Celebrity Apprentice?
I have not, but I heard
okay. I'm not going to tell you anything about it except the very end.
I heard the president tweet about it.
Well, obviously. Probably some the president-elect or president. I guess president, huh?
As of Friday, baby.
Oh, yeah. Hey, who knew? That thing actually happened then, huh? They went through with that?
That really happened.
About that. Okay. Interesting. Anyway, so without knowing anything about the show, maybe you don't know anything about it.
I don't know anything about it.
What does... you know who's in it? Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yes, I do know that.
What does Arnold say instead of, you're fired?
You're terminated.
Yes. And then what does he say? Like, because Donald Trump would go, you're fired, get in the elevator and whatever he said, right?
Yeah.
Get in the elevator and, then they'd see the car and, they'd drive away in the limo.
It's probably something like, you won't be back.
Nope.
Instead
better.
Of I'll be back.
Way better. I haven't watched any of the show. I swear, hand to God, I'm watching it. I caught the last 10 minutes and I went out. I'm curious to what he says here. He says, you're terminated now.
I don't know.
Get to the chopper.
Are you kidding me?
So awesome.
Do you know, I was thinking about this fact, that the ratings are much worse than they used to be, but there's
on
a big
this show.
Yeah. But there's a big difference. And that's that Trump was known as a businessman, right? I mean, when I first watched the show, which I watched like the first couple seasons, partly it was because of, The Art of the Deal, which I, read cover to cover. And some of those deal-making books, I'm like, oh, we're going to get some insights. And then after two seasons, when I realized we're not going to get any insights whatsoever, right? We're getting nothing. I stopped watching. But still, that's the magnet is that, the perception of we're going to see some business stuff happen.
That's why I like The Prophet.
Yes,
because
me
the Prophet,
too.
I think he gets right to it and
exactly.
Doesn't take any crap from anybody. He's got a new show that is starting, and it's very similar to The Apprentice. It's called The Partner or something like that. And so... He's basically doing the same thing. He's saying, my business is too big. I can't run the whole thing. I need to bring on a partner. And it's this 8-week interview with all these kids, basically.
Yeah, that's cool. Because I do think from The Prophet, you do get some stuff. You see him apply what I find remarkable. He applies the basics of the same system to every business. And I love it.
Huh?
Oh, I absolutely love it. Fantastic.
He figured out how to make a chocolate cake and replays that recipe over and over and over again. And it works in every business. Odd. Who would have thunk it?
It's funny. The movie that I want to talk about today is also about them trying to make the perfect thing. But in this case, OG, they're trying to make a rocket to go to outer space. This movie is called Hidden Figures.
Equilateral, trapezoid, isosceles, tetrahedron.
I have never seen a mind like the one your daughter has. You have to see what she becomes.
Move like that.
Catherine, we all gonna end up unemployed riding around in this pile of junk.
You're welcome to walk the 16 miles.
Or sit in the back of the bus.
Kiss me up.
You have identification on?
We're just on our way to work at NASA, sir.
I had no idea they hired.
There are quite a few women working in the space program.
So three African-American women working for NASA, and obviously we're well back in time and some serious prejudice going on there with the cop. That's actually the first scene of the movie. And I like it when I go to see a movie and I think that I might have seen some of the best parts of the movie. And a big part of the trailer that I'd seen over and over and over and over and over, I'd seen that trailer, I think, so many times that I thought I'd seen a good part of the movie. That's very beginning. Doesn't show you any of the rest of the movie. Of course, it shows the Russians getting the lead in space. Talks
damn Ruskies.
It talks about the initial rockets and how what they got wrong. Also goes through these particular women's individual struggles as they're a part of the space program. There's, like in a lot of places in America, and especially in the South, lots of... there's separate bathrooms for them. One woman has to run all the way across the campus every time she has to go to the bathroom. She goes to work in this office where it's all white except for her. And the second day she comes into work and they've given her a different coffee pot that says colored on it. Everybody associated with this movie is people that you've seen before. Octavia Spencer, Taraji Henson, Janelle Monáe, whose music, by the way, I absolutely love. Kirsten Dunst is in this movie, plays a completely different character than she usually does. Kevin Costner's in this movie. And of course,
but I bet Kevin Costner plays the exact same person.
Believe it or not, he's the exact same dude. Yeah. Yeah. Kevin Costner's like if he had Bruce Willis in the movie, right? He's not going to be playing anybody.
Unfortunately, else. Kevin Costner has kind of fallen into the Ed Harris.
Jim Parsons is in this movie, the guy who's Sheldon on Big Bang Theory. Yep. So we walked out of this movie and Cheryl goes, well, what did you think? And I said, the plot was really obvious. Like it was so straightforward.
Get rocket to space. Yeah.
It was exactly what you thought it was going to be. Even the women's individual stories, exactly what you thought. It was kind of just ABCD, exactly what you thought it was going to be. Also, I thought it was kind of cheesy. You know, I thought that there was some Velveeta cheese going on where they're laying it on a little thick, and it very well might be one of the best movies I've seen this year. It was amazing. I almost said the F word. It was an amazing movie.
Fantastic.
I love the entire ride. Fantastic. That F word. You'd love the movie. OG, you would absolutely love this movie. I can't think of anybody who wouldn't love this movie. Between their individual struggles and the struggle to get the rocket into space and the fact that the whole team has to come together to get it done, even though you know that they do get it done, right? It still is quite a ride. Like it's 2 hours of my life that from the beginning to the end, I was just happy to be there. You know, when you're watching a great TV show or a movie and you're like, I don't really care where this goes. I'm just digging this ride. This is the most fun I could be having right now. Hidden Figures delivers that. Well nice. Done, man. Love this movie, especially. And it's funny because I saw this right after Manchester by the Sea that we talked about last week. And Manchester by the Sea, I had these huge expectations for. And Hidden Figures, I just thought it was going to be, you know, a pulp movie that was made for a lot of people and kind of a feel-good movie. And it's all those things, but far better than I had expected. So
excellent.
Big.
Two thumbs up.
Two gigantic thumbs up. Love
from Uncle Joe.
Love Hidden Figures. Definitely, you know, when I walked out, I said would be the top movie. I've seen a couple movies since then, I think, that may be better that we'll talk about in the future. But still going to be in my top five. I can't imagine how this movie wouldn't be in my top five movies of the year.
Okay.
Amazing. Yeah, good stuff.
Top five of 2017, or are we still in 2016?
Well, you know, I go Oscars to Oscars, and I think we've had this conversation before, but it has been a long time. I go Oscars to Oscars because I'm trying to catch up with all the 2016 Oscar nominations, so I consider all the movies I'm watching right now as 2016 movies. Oh, okay. Up until, what, March, when the Oscars hit?
I wouldn't know.
I wouldn't know either. February.
Yes, you do. You have it on your calendar. It's circled. It's like got a gold star around it. You know exactly when the Oscars are.
We're having a big party.
You're just playing coy.
I do like the fact that lately, the last, 6-7 years, I've known most of the movies. Like, you know, you watch the Oscars and you're like, I don't know any of these films. I have no idea what the heck these are. Mm-hmm. We're headed out to see Moonlight today, which won the Golden Globe. So I can't wait to see that. Of course, for that one, we have to drive to Shreveport. I got to drive 85 miles to see a good movie because our local Cinemark.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Dude, I got to tell you.
Everybody, you can just shut it down. Here's Joe's weekly rant on Cinemark.
No, listen to this.
It's all about, I live in Texarkana and they always play crappy movies and
So lately Cinemark at the open has started at the end of their, whatever, their beginning trailer. It says, you can head to Cinemark.com. Cinemark trades on the New York Stock Exchange as ticker symbol. And I start laughing like every time. Yeah. Just so I know which stock to short.
I know the stock. Not a recommendation, folks. That's just Joe's personal opinion. don't take his advice on this one.
I had another dispute with them on Twitter recently.
No kidding. That's a shock.
Well, they were actually very nice to me back.
Oh. All right.
Yeah.
They finally, you know, stand by for demonstration of relevance, huh?
Apparently something. Maybe Joe got a couple more Twitter followers than they thought. I don't know what happened, but they were actually nice to me. So, all right. So, OG, this show's terminated. Get on the choppa.
Get to the choppa.